I'd like you to open first tonight to Isaiah 55. I'm going to share some things with you the Lord shared with me. And it has to do with us living in the blessings that God has promised. If you hang around churches long enough, sooner or later, the pastor is going to be teaching about the blessings of God. Well, that's good, and we need to know that. We need to know about the blessings of God, but we also need to know how to appropriate those blessings into our lives. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 10, God is giving a natural example. He says, "As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." And you'll notice in this natural example in verse 10, he says, the rain comes down, waters the ground, and then things begin to grow and begin to bud. You end up with seed and you end up with good things to eat. In other words, what we're seeing here is that you start out with nothing, but the rain goes forth and it causes something to happen, and the something that happens is something good for our benefit. Well, in verse 11 he says, my word's the same way. When I speak my word, it comes down from heaven, if you will, and it will produce what I say it is supposed to produce. And he says, it won't return void, but it will accomplish what I please. It'll prosper whereunto the thing that I've sent it. The question is, if he has sent his word forth, which he has, then where's all the stuff? You with me? I mean, his word's gone forth. He said it won't return void. He said it will accomplish everything he sends it forth to accomplish. So where's the accomplishing here? I want accomplishing in my life. I want the word to do something in my life. So how come it's not happening? Well, let's look at another place, Jeremiah 29. And you'll notice in what we just read, there was nothing in there about sickness or disease. There was nothing in there about, you know, tragedy and disaster. There was nothing in there about bad stuff. He says, my word will go forth and accomplish what I want it to accomplish. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So what happens in this process of words? We think, we speak. Same way with God. He thinks, he speaks. Here he says, the thoughts that I think toward you are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Therefore, the words that God speaks out of his thoughts are words of peace. Call them words of blessing if you want to give us an expected end. Okay, well, what is the expected end? The expected end is whatever the words are. Because he said, my word, when it goes forth from my mouth, it will accomplish what I sent it to accomplish. Therefore, my word, when I speak it, represents the expected end. So if he says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His word has gone forth, and that word represents the expected end. I call upon the name of the Lord, and what happens? I'm saved. There's the expected end. So what we're seeing then is that, and this is very important, God's word always carries a blessing. It always carries a blessing. That means everything that we see within his word, it contains a blessing. You say, well, yeah, but there are like things of rebuke in there. That's right. And the rebuke is what? It's to keep us from messing up so that we do what's right and get the blessing. A rebuke from the Lord, I mean, you read these things in the Word, they carry blessings. He says, Don't do those things so you can be, what? Blessed. Very simple. God's Word, everything you see, you know, you go in the Bible, carries a blessing. Now, that means every blessing we could ever hope to receive from God is recorded in the Word. Now let that one sink in. It sounds simple, but it's very deep. Every blessing that we could ever hope to receive from God is recorded in His Word. You need healing, the blessing of healing, it's recorded in the Word. You need peace, it's recorded in the Word. You need joy, it's recorded in the Word. You need financial things, it's recorded in the Word. Do you need material things? It's recorded in the Word. Every blessing we could ever hope to receive from God is recorded in His Word. You say, well, I need a car, and cars aren't in the Word. No, but material blessings are. Every blessing we could ever hope to receive from God is recorded in His Word. The reason this is so important is because, and we'll touch on this here in a little bit, if you're trying to receive a blessing that is not recorded in the Word, you're not going to get it. Well, that just leads to the next point here. If you don't know God's Word, you don't know your blessings. If you don't know God's Word, you don't know your blessings. So therefore, if you don't know God's Word and you don't know your blessings, then you're going to come up with your own Word with your own blessings. You're going to make stuff up. Now, maybe not you here, but in the body of Christ, this goes on. And you know, people talk about things that God's blessed them with and He didn't. Well, for example, and I've shared this before, but it really kind of fits in here. You know, mom and dad, they have a daughter, all right? And she's 15 years old. She comes home one day and she says, I'm pregnant. Oh, no, what are we going to do? You know, the shock wears off and, you know, there will be no abortion. Well, she has the baby, gives birth, you know, when she's age 16, 9 months later. So here they are, you know, they're carrying little Rapunzel. And they bring little Rapunzel to church, and everybody's, oh, looky, isn't she the most beautiful thing you've ever seen? Oh, looky here, looky there, like that. And it's like, oh, yeah, she's such a blessing from God. God has blessed our lives with this little baby. No, He didn't. Are you nuts? God's not going to violate His own Word and bless people because they sinned. He says that the intimate relations are supposed to be restricted to the husband and wife. So now little, you know, 15-year-old Susie, she got pregnant, gave birth when she was 16, and everybody says that the baby's a blessing from God. No, the baby's not a blessing from God. God did not bless your lives with that baby. And it just, that's one of those things I get around Christians, and they start talking like that, and I just want to slap them till their nose turns upside down. It's crazy. Because what you're saying is, it's okay to have premarital or extramarital sex because you might get a blessing. That's what you're saying. It's wrong, and any Christian who says that needs to have their mouth taped shut until they learn better. Because they're speaking things that don't line up with the Word of God. If you don't know God's Word, you don't know your blessings. Now, if you train that child up correctly, that child could end up blessing your life because of his or her walk in Christ. But the existence of the child by itself is not a blessing. You need to understand that. And, you know, some of these things, just Christians sometimes just struggle to get a hold of this. Why? They don't know the Word. They don't know their blessings. They don't know what God's really said about blessings. So they just grab a hold of anything that comes along. If they like it, it's a blessing. If they don't like it, it's of the devil. Yeah, that's just how people do it. Well, that's nuts. Now look over in Mark chapter 4. I want to show you a process here. Mark chapter 4. In verse 14, Jesus is explaining a parable. And he says, "The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." How can he do that? How can he take the word out of your heart? Well, he can't. But what he can do is distract you away from what the word says. And he can mislead you relative to what the word is declaring. And so therefore, he says, "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately to," how can I put this? He comes immediately to nullify the effect of the word. He can't erase it from what your mind, you understand what I mean? But he's going to try and nullify the word that was sown in their hearts. Now I'm going to give you three examples of this and help you understand a little bit better about what's really going on here. Turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now God has created everything, and he gets up to the sixth day of creation. And in verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Okay, now what has God just done? He has spoken a blessing over man, has he not? And what blessing is this? The blessing of dominion and authority over the creation, over the work of God's hands. "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Now, what is one of the things about God that we've learned so far? That his word will not return void, but it will accomplish everything he sent it forth to accomplish. Now, if man has been created in the image and likeness of God, then that means when God spoke a blessing over man, it wasn't going to return. Then man turns around, he speaks a blessing, if you will, and it's not supposed to return void. If we're created in the image and the likeness of God, then when we speak and bless, it's not supposed to return void. Well, let's continue here. "And God blessed them, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. So to you it's going to be meat, and to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there was life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God looks and sees everything. He says, Boy, did I do good." Which he did. Okay, now, what's happened? God spoke the blessing over Adam and Eve, and he gave humanity dominion over the work of his hands, and he also gave humanity the right to act as God acted, because man's been created in the likeness and in the image of God. What happened? Chapter 3. Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown into their lives. He couldn't erase it, but what he did was speak his own words to distract them from the truth of what God had spoken. And he says, "Hey, you know, verse 1, and he's talking to Eve. He says, you telling me that you can't eat of every tree of the garden? And she says, no, we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you know, don't eat it, and don't even touch it, or you're going to die. And the serpent says, you're not going to die. God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Wait a second. God already told them they were going to be like gods, didn't he? Let us create man in our image and in our likeness. They're already like God. They're not God, but they're already like God. And because they carry the characteristics of God, that means they speak and things are supposed to happen. And he comes in, and basically what he says is, God didn't tell you the whole story. You say, well, what's left? If I'm created in his image and in his likeness, what is left? Well, you know, if you eat, you're going to be like gods. I already am. But the way he presented it to them, it got them to thinking differently from what God had spoken. And this is how Satan came immediately to steal the word that was sown in their hearts. You know the end result. Humanity is still paying for it today. The word was nullified because Satan came with his lies and they listened to him more than holding on to the blessing God had already spoken, and it nullified that blessing. Now let me show you another one. Turn to Genesis chapter 14. This one's interesting. It's kind of disguised. But in Genesis chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, or 1 through 6, 1 through 16, Abraham's nephew Lot was living in the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, some bad kings invaded, and they took where all the people that lived around Sodom and Gomorrah, took them captive, Lot included, took all their possessions, so on and so forth. Well, Abraham heard about it, and he said, this is not good. So he armed his servants, and they said, we're going to go rescue my nephew and all these other people. So they attacked the bad kings, and sure enough, defeated the bad kings, and they saved all the people, and they took all the possessions, you know, recaptured them, if you will. And in verse 17, it says, the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of that fella and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now look at this. And he what? He blessed Abraham. And he said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. You see that blessing? He blessed him with a declaration of a standing. Blessed be, not just Abram, but blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. That's like a title. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. And then he says, possessor of heaven and earth. Now basically what he's doing is reaffirming the covenant that God had established with Abraham earlier. So Melchizedek says, blessed be Abraham. I mean, the priest of the Most High God says, blessed be Abram, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. So Abraham turns around and gives him a tithe of all. Of all of what? Of all the booty that he recovered. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4 proves this out. Now look in verse 21. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Now look at that. Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God. That's the third time we're seeing Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Now wait a minute. I thought Abram was the possessor of heaven and earth. He is. But he's declaring the covenant he has with God. God is the possessor of heaven and earth, but yet out of this covenant I know I too am the possessor of heaven and earth. You see this? And he says, I've lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men that went with me. Do you see what's happening here? The priest of the Most High God says, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And then the king of Sodom says, hey, I will bless you. Keep the booty for yourself. Now, most people would have said, oh, gee, you don't have to. Put it over here in the wagon. Here's the subtlety in this. The man has already been declared possessor of heaven and earth. He cannot add to what he already has by taking the booty from the king of Sodom. This is, believe it or not, a test of his faith. I'm the possessor of heaven and earth. I don't need that stuff. You take it and go back home. I'm the possessor of heaven and earth. Whatever I need, I will have. I'm not going to take anything to where it looks like you're the one who has blessed me and you get the credit above the Most High God. Because, see, later on, somebody could see all the wealth that Abram has and they could be talking among themselves and say, boy, that guy's rich. And, well, I'll tell you how he got rich. King of Sodom gave him all that stuff. Do you see what I'm saying? And Abram was saying, no, that is not going to happen. God has spoken his blessing over me. I am the possessor of heaven and earth. And I'm not going to do anything at all that could cause people to think that what I have has come to me because of my relationships with men instead of my relationship with Almighty God. In a very subtle way, Satan was coming immediately to steal the word that was sown into Abram's life. Because if he had seen himself in need of the things of Sodom, he would have said, boy, I can't thank you enough because, you know, things have been pretty tough out here on the ranch here lately. He would have been denying the blessing that was spoken over him by God. You see this? How subtle this is. Let me show you another one. Turn over to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And if you pick this up in... Oh, just pick it up in... Where should we pick this up? 21. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And I hear, a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Do you see the blessing in this? Anytime God says he's pleased with you, do you not understand there's a blessing in that? He is declaring, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now jump ahead. Chapter 4. And Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. It says that he ate nothing. And when the days were ended, he hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command that stone be made to bread. Jesus says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. What was the word of God? The word was, you are my beloved Son. You're my beloved Son. Meaning, I am your Father. Meaning, as your Father, I will provide for you. Over, I think it's over in Matthew, where it says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Why is that? Because every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God will bring forth everything God has sent it forth to bring. It's a roundabout way to say it. It will accomplish what he sends it forth to accomplish. And the devil comes along and he says, if you be the Son of God. In other words, if I can get you to turn the stone to bread, then what you're trying to do is prove you're the Son of God by your actions, not according to the word that God spoke over you. I don't need to turn the stone to bread. God said, I'm His Son. Therefore, if God said, I'm His Son, I'm His Son. And man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Why is that? Because every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God carries the blessings of God into my life. So I don't have to turn the stone into bread. The question is not, can I or can't I? The question is, do I need to? No, I don't need to. Because I am God's beloved Son. And He is well pleased in me. Satan came immediately to steal the word. And these kind of things, when you look at them, it's like, well, it's subtle. And we don't recognize what's really happening. When Satan comes to steal the word, it isn't just the word he's trying to steal. What he's trying to do is to stop the blessings of the word from manifesting in our lives. He knows that if he can get the word nullified, that the blessing the word carries will not manifest. I'll give you an example. When you study the Word of God, it's very clear that the Word of God and the wisdom it contains produces our blessings, or let's just say finances. We'll produce finances. It's right in the Word. Wisdom says, hey, I can cause this to happen into your life. The Word of God causes it to happen. Right? How does Satan nullify that? Very simple. He gets us to believe that we have to give in an offering the very thing we need in order to get what we need. Think about it. I need money. Well, brother, if you need money, got to need, sow a seed. And so I'm supposed to give away the very thing I need to try to get the very thing I need. Well, if I've already got it, why should I give it away? But do you see how simple this is? Because it's the Word of God and the wisdom of God which can cause the finances to come into my life. It's not my offerings. But yet, all over the body of Christ, what we hear is, if you need more, give more. If you're struggling, give more. If you're going through a rough time, give more. If you're anticipating there's a need coming up, sow to meet that need before it gets here. We are told to give away the very thing we need. Now, God can tell you to give money. I'm not disputing that. But the principle that is taught is, if you already have it, get rid of it, and then just sit back and believe it's all going to come back multiplied many times over. Does that make any sense whatsoever? Think with me. No, it doesn't. Especially when the Bible makes very clear that the Word of God and the wisdom of God is the power of God to produce the blessings of God. So therefore, if God tells me that His wisdom and His Word will help me in the area of my finances, why in the world should I give away the very thing that I need? But Satan sits back and he has mouthpieces all over the body of Christ who repeat this over and over and over. He just sits back and laughs because he knows it doesn't work. Think with me. There are Christians all over the place who have hurt themselves terribly financially. Then every now and then somebody stands up and says, well, you know, I gave, and boy, I'll tell you what, I got a blessing out of it. Okay, well, what about the other 5 million people who did the same thing and they haven't seen a penny? See how devastating this is? If you see how subtle it is, the way that Satan attacks to try and steal this word. He's trying to keep us from the blessings. But if I stand up and I say, I don't have to give money. Hey, I am a child of God. His word will not return void. He has, now get this, Jesus said the sower sows the word. The Father has already sown the word. Now, it won't return void if I appropriate it into my life. So I don't have to give money to get blessed. My Father already calls me blessed. I've got a book full of blessings right here. You have a need, sow a seed. Hey, Father already sowed that seed. In that respect, look in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. See, this is not complicated, but it is. Because it's a concept that people, we in the body of Christ have tended to just gloss over throughout the years. The Word of God contains the blessings of God. There are no other blessings outside the Word of God, at least not blessings that come from God. You understand what I mean? In Psalm 107, look here, verse 20. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His Word. What Word? The healing Word. Remember in the New Testament, the one fellow went to Jesus and he said, no, you don't have to come to the house to speak the Word only. Just speak the Word only. Well, why is that? Because when you speak the Word, your Word contains the answer to what is needed. If somebody needs healing, then speak the Word, Jesus. Just speak the Word. Because when you speak the healing Word, that Word contains the blessing of healing. And it will produce healing in the person's life. So Jesus, He says, go your way. You know, it's done for you. Servant's healed. And it's amazing because here's Jesus, who knows how far away He was from this location, but He says, it's done. And it's like when He spoke those words went out and they looked until they found that sick person. And whoosh, they invaded that sick person with healing and produced the blessing of healing. Words did it. Can you imagine being in that room with that sick person? Now all of a sudden the power of that word hits. It's like, hey, I'm feeling pretty good. Let's get a burger. So how'd that happen? And then the fella gets back home and they come running out and they said, you're not going to believe what happened. Wait, let me tell you, he's healed. The servant is healed. How'd you know? Because I heard the blessing being spoken. Is this incredible or what? The Word of God contains these blessings. Look in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. In verse 22, it says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Well, if the blessing of the Lord makes me rich, then why do I have to stick money in an offering plate? All I need to figure out is, where's the blessing? Show me this. Well, there, it's part of it's right there. The blessing of the Lord, that which the Lord has spoken forth. A blessing's not a blessing until it's spoken. Because it's not until after it's spoken that you know it exists. You know, there are... Women seem to be able to express themselves a little better than a lot of men. And you have a lot of wives who sometimes tell their husbands, you know, it'd be nice if you'd tell me you love me more often. Now the husband loves her. You know, it's just his heart is exploding with love. But sometimes men aren't too good at expressing things like that. Well, for whatever reason, they just don't do it. Now the wife knows he loves her, but she wants a little more than that. She said, I want you to bless me by speaking I love you. And listen, guys, folks, men and women, doesn't it do something to you when someone you love looks at you and says, I love you? Spouse, child, parent, whatever. I mean, something happens and you feel better because of it. Even if even if you just manner a wet hen. I mean, maybe she did something she just shouldn't have done. Like threw away your comic books or something. I mean, you are just mad. And she looks at you and she says, I love you. I mean, her eyes are just radiating that love. It's like, you're still mad, but something about it when she said it, it's like, gee whiz, why can't she just let me be mad? Why does she... A blessing is not a blessing until it's spoken. That's why God spoke the word. And it's written down for us. All these blessings in here. And so, again, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Now, this phrase, maketh rich, it could also be said like this. The blessing of the Lord produceth increase. In other words, it doesn't have to be just about money. The blessing of the Lord produces increase in healing, if you will, increase in peace, increase in joy, increase in, you know, whatever. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. In other words, if you have problems, they didn't come from Him. He addeth no sorrow with it. But I want you to back up one verse to verse 21. Look here. The lips of the righteous feed many. See that? It isn't my money. It isn't my crops. It isn't, you know, my stocking of the food pantry with my canned goods. He says, the lips of the righteous feed many. Well, how in the world does that work? Because I speak the blessings of God over your life. And God says, His word won't return void. Remember, we're created in His likeness and His image. Therefore, what we say is supposed to have an effect the same way that He says, and it has an effect. So therefore, His word contains His blessings. Now, I take His word, and I begin to speak His word of blessings over you. And guess what? I'm blessing you with His promises, and those words are not to return void. I call you healed. I call you blessed. I call you blessed with the mind of God, with the peace that passes all understanding. Do you understand what I'm getting at here? I call you the righteousness of God. You have a backslidden child? Just look at him. I call you the righteousness of God. Now, that's going to irritate something. But they're not living like righteous. Okay. They're backslidden, right? Does God want them back in the fold? Yes. I call you loved of God. I say you know the love of God that passes all understanding. I say you know the peace of God that passes all understanding. I say you know the joy of the Lord that passes all understanding. Things that are contained in the Word of God. These are the only things that work. Let that sink in. This job stinks. And it's going to. Why don't you speak the blessings of God over your job? So it doesn't smell so bad. Why don't you speak the blessings, whatever it is, may your lips feed many, whatever it is. Speak what God has spoken. Because if you speak anything else, God's not going to stand behind it. Let me show you something. Look over in Amos chapter 3. Amos, one of those little bitty books there in the Old Testament. Amos is right before Obadiah and right after Joel, if that helps. Amos chapter 3. Now hurry up and find out. We don't have all night. Amos chapter 3. Look here in verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you walk together with God if the two of you aren't agreed on the blessings? You know, if you try to appropriate blessings that God did not first speak in His Word, you're not going to receive them. You can't receive a blessing from God if He's never spoken it. It's something that doesn't exist. You can only receive what God has spoken when it comes to the blessings. Never, ever, ever try to apply any principle to your life that God did not first record in the Word of His grace, no matter who preached it. Well, I just believe, and then people, well, like the offering thing. Well, you know, I declare that because of my tithes, the windows of heaven are open. I'm sorry. It no worky. And you can confess it all you want. But what you're doing is you're taking the Word of God out of context and you're trying to make it produce something in your life it's not going to produce. Well, I've given my tithe, therefore the windows of heaven are open, but I also gave offerings, and the offerings are now going to determine how much comes out those windows. Where is that? Well, I heard it from Brother Big Blab the other night. I mean, he was preaching good. Well, that's a principle that God did not declare in His Word. But the devil has been able to manipulate, just like he did with Adam and Eve, and this is how he steals the Word. He nullifies its blessings. God says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. So I go through here, and I begin to find the different things that God has spoken. Because contained in those words are my blessings. You know how sometimes you buy like vitamins or medicine, and they're in capsules, and you see through the capsule, and in the capsule, it's got those little bitty tiny little like round pills. You know what I'm talking about? And so when you take the capsule is nothing more than a container. And it's made out of a gelatin-like substance, and you swallow it, and the moisture and the heat in your body causes the gelatin to begin to dissolve, and then all those little bitty round pills are released into your system. And then they begin to dissolve. You know how some of them are different colors? Well, see what happens is some dissolve sooner than others. And they contain all the medicines that get released into your system. And then it gets into your bloodstream. It gets pumped all over your body. You know, sometimes when you don't know something, you just don't know it. Well, I can remember a long, long, long time ago. I mean, I must have been really young. But it finally hit me. When you take aspirin or any kind of a painkiller, the painkiller medicine doesn't only go to the place that hurts. It's not like it knows. It's all over your body. It's everywhere on the inside. You know what I'm saying? And I still remember to this day when that realization hit me. It's like, oh yeah. Well, if it gets in the bloodstream, it's pumped everywhere. Huh. It doesn't just go to, you know, my sore knee or whatever it would be. I mean, that's kind of goofy to even think it would be like that. That's just like one time, remember All in the Family? They were having plumbing problems. The plumber came in and he was joking with Edith. And he says, yeah, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't figure out how the water knew to go to either the kitchen or to the bathroom. And Edith got that look on her face like, huh, yeah, well, how does it? Can two walk together except they be agreed? If somebody stands up and they preach and they teach something that is as a principle of God and it's not a principle of God, don't try to apply it to your life because it will never, ever, ever produce. Look over in... Well, we've kind of looked at this already. But look in Matthew chapter 4. We'll look at this again in closing. Jesus is in the wilderness. The Satan comes to him in verse 3. He says, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's words are like those little medicine pills. They are containers of the blessings. Until they are appropriated, they cannot produce in your life. Just because you have the medicine in your cabinet doesn't mean it's doing you any good. The doctor tells you you're supposed to swallow it, you know, for a reason. He wants it to get into your body. Well, the Word of God, it's the containers of the blessings. Money given in offerings cannot unlock these containers. It's impossible. They're words. And the pattern for the release of the blessings has been established for us by God. And it goes all the way back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created, and God said, "Let there be something." And when He spoke it, the Holy Ghost grabs a hold of those words. Jesus is involved in this. I mean, the whole Godhead here, Father, Son, and Spirit are involved in this. But once those words were spoken and released, that's when they could be brought forth into manifestation. Prior to that, they were just a thought. But when He released them, they became a blessing. He blessed eternity with creation, if you want to look at it like that. And this whole process has been set in motion. And it's like God is saying, look, I did it first so that you would know how this works. Now what I've done is I've given you a book full of blessings. These words are containers. These containers carry the blessings. Salvation is available to every human being. And God wants everybody to be saved. But until you believe His blessing of salvation and you appropriate that blessing into your life by speaking that promise of salvation, believing it in your heart, you're not saved. But when you do, then you receive the manifested blessing of a born-again spirit. Until we appropriate His words according to His pattern, His blessings are not going to become a manifest reality. And you need to know, Satan fights the whole time to get you to nullify the blessings, the Word, with his thoughts. If you hurt, you hurt. If your body's in pain, your body's in pain. But until you start hammering your body with the blessings of healing that God has released, why should you expect the healing to manifest? Why should we expect any of God's blessings to manifest in our lives just because we want them to? Well, gee whiz, everybody wants them to. Come on. Sure we do. But why should we expect it to happen just because we want it to? And if we look at each other and say, boy, I tell you what, I sure wish, you know, God's blessing of whatever, you know, would manifest in my life. And God's saying, well, hey, it can. Grab a hold of the containers and release them, just like I did. Release them out of a heart that believes it's going to happen. I remember one time a preacher was talking, and I've used this myself many times. What if everything you spoke came to pass? Everything. You know, you get mad at somebody and you call them, you know, you stupid baboon, and the next thing you know, they're eating a banana and swinging from a tree. You understand what I'm saying? Some guy pulls out in front of you and you say, you stupid jerk, I hope you have a flat tire. And then boom, kaboom, 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 kaboom. Oh, great. I can't believe it. Next thing you know, the mother-in-law is going to move in. Me, would you help me carry this stuff in? What if everything you spoke came to pass? Our lives would be disastrous. We're never going to make it. We'll never get these bills paid. Yama, yama, yama. What if you turn this thing around? What if you sat back and took a look at Genesis and said, boy, you know what? I'm created in the likeness and image of God. He spoke, it happened. I bet it's supposed to be like that for me too. And then instead of sowing the words of the enemy, you start guarding your heart. Do you know what? This would be one of the hardest things you've ever done in your life, is to watch what you say and restrict yourself to declaring the concepts of God. When I say the concepts, I'm not talking, what I mean is, you don't go around all day, quoting scripture, and thus saith the Lord. No. But what you speak is the message of the Word of God. And you bless your life. Call yourself blessed. Why wouldn't you? If you're blessed, you're blessed. If your Father's blessed you, if you're a child of God, and all these things are recorded in the Word, why wouldn't you want to say that about yourself? You know, you talk to some people, say, well, how you doing? And they say, well, I'm blessed and highly favored. And everybody goes, oh, 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 and they laugh like it's some kind of a joke. But what if you spoke it like you meant it? And meant it when you said it. I'm blessed and highly favored. I walk in the favor of God. If you start doing this, and I'm not talking, some people, they get weird on this stuff. I'm just talking like Jesus, okay? Follow the pattern of Jesus. He spoke the essence of the Word. Be like Jesus. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be really hard because there'll be times you're going to have to bite your tongue. I mean, you're going to have to literally clench your teeth to not say what you're thinking about saying. But call yourself blessed. Call your home blessed. Call your job blessed. Call your money blessed. Speak what God has spoken. The containers of His blessings are here in this Word. And He says they will bear fruit. Praise God. I needed to hear this tonight. Preaching it myself, even if you didn't receive it. Glory to God. Now I'm convicted. Hallelujah. Okay, go ahead and stand.